Greetings, welcome, bienvenidos, hola, aloha, ni hao, namaste, konnichiwa, bonjour, buongiorno, sawadee kerup, guten tag, ja weevi va katbang, half a day, jai janendra, salam, shalom, peace, now, go vegan, peace how, go vegan. From the left coast of the unlabeled, genetically mutated, McNugget pharmaceutical kill, vivisection prison, killitary, industrial, core, poor nation, in the cheese-covered, post-constitutional, bankster, bankrupt, corruptocracy, mocracy, criminocracy of the United States of Listeria, foodborne in the NRA, NSA, USA, home of Uncle Sam, Manila, where they sure do eat a lot of dead animal body parts, and the Wall Street-backed corporate diet of death, disease, and destruction is shoved down your throat. This is Go Vegan Radio with Bob Linden. And happy Cesar Chavez Day weekend. It's so great to celebrate the birthday of a vegan hero like Cesar Chavez. Yes, vegan hero. It's true. It's, of course, not many people talk about that, but it was very important to him. Arturo Rodriguez, who was president of the United Farm Workers, said that Cesar Chavez got as much personal satisfaction from converting people to veganism as he did to trade unionism. So why is it a secret that Cesar Chavez was vegan? It's not a secret on this program. We have celebrated it over the years. We've had his family members on the program. You can check the archives for Teresa Chavez Delgado, Julie Rodriguez, who is his granddaughter. And yes, they affirm that he was vegan. Not, you know, some animal product eating vegetarian. You know, I don't know how, you know, vegetarians who consume animal products are called vegetarians anyway. But no, he was totally vegan. And I started celebrating a little early last night at a party near San Jose where Cesar Chavez worked. And we had food that at least Cesar Chavez could have eaten. I mean, it was wonderful food from Vegetarian House, vegan restaurant, 520 East Santa Clara Street in San Jose. I picked up some chow mein, quinoa sushi, and spicy cha-cha, which resembles shrimp to the uninitiated. There were people at the party who were saying, well, I don't really understand why vegans have, you know, vegan food that looks like animal foods, you know, like shrimp or burgers or hot dogs or sausages. And, you know, but it's a lot of people who want to make the transition are very comfortable with foods that they've had in the past. So we do have a vegan alternative to all the comfort foods. So, you know, burgers and hot dogs, sausages, you know, yogurt, butter, whatever it might be, ice cream. So, and then I made the my famous vegetable soup. I mean, it's put me in a position where I'm kind of the real life soup Nazi at this party, and these are people who aren't even vegan who are enjoying the food there. And at the end of the night, I sit down on my throne, and everybody walks by and bows down to me, and, you know, kisses my cutting board, you know, I tell them, make a donation to Go Vegan Radio, you know, click donate at goveganradio.com, or you may not get a bowl of soup at the next party. So that's the threat I have. It's really like Seinfeld. It's really, oh, the soup is so good, too, but so full because we had the soup and all the great food from Vegetarian House, which specializes in catering in the Bay Area. So if you're having an event coming up, whatever the business function, conference, wedding, well, go to vegetarianhouse.us and you will see a wonderful array of international cuisine that, you know, satisfies everyone. And, you know, in this weekend where we celebrate Cesar Chavez, it came to be known that he became interested in helping the most needy. And, you know, at one point he saw that it was the farm workers, but he also recognized that it was animals, too. And he befriended and gave homes to dogs and goats. He had a garden that always hosted animals. And he said that he learned later in life that animals had feelings. And, you know, they had the same feelings we do. The ability to be afraid or hungry or sad, and that really moved him. And Cesar Chavez actually called animal activists higher caring people. And he's quoted from a famous speech saying, well, the quote is, "We must respect all life without exceptions. We need in a special way to work twice as hard to make all people understand that animals are fellow creatures, that we must protect them and love them as we love ourselves. The basis for peace is respecting all creatures. That's the basis for peace. We cannot hope to have peace until we respect everyone, respect ourselves, and respect animals and all living things. And that's the basis, we think, the beginning of peace. We know we cannot defend and be kind to animals until we stop exploiting them in the name of science, exploiting animals in the name of sport, exploiting animals in the name of fashion, and yes, exploiting animals in the name of food." So again, that's a direct quote from the vegan social justice hero, Cesar Chavez. He did say that if you are changing your dietary habits for reasons of compassion, well, you get rid of dairy and eggs first. And the San Francisco Cesar Chavez Day holiday parade and festival is coming up Saturday, April 12th. I usually manage to get a hold of the microphone at the event just to remind people of that one little insignificant fact that meant so much to Cesar Chavez. It meant as much to him as converting people to trade unionism. He wanted people to go vegan. And the San Francisco Cesar Chavez Day holiday parade and festival is Saturday, April 12th, where we assemble at Dolores Park at 10 a.m., 19th and Guerrero. And then there's the street fair from noon to 5 on 24th Street. And, you know, if Cesar Chavez were alive today, if Cesar Chavez were able to attend any event in his honor, well, there wouldn't be anything for him to eat. You know, I mean, carne, pollo, pescado, leche de vaca, mantequilla, queso, helado, miel. Not comida to Cesar Chavez. Comida to Cesar Chavez would be frutas, verduras, nueces, granos, semillas, legumbres. That is comida to Cesar Chavez, the vegan hero whose life we celebrate as a holiday this coming Monday. But how could we honor his life? Well, why wouldn't we want to be like Cesar Chavez and go vegan? Or wouldn't we want to do what meant so much to him? Okay, maybe we all can't join United Farm Workers, right, or a union, but we can all go vegan. And that was very important to Cesar Chavez, and it's very important to his memory that we know that he was vegan. How do we honor the life of any animal activist today? Well, we do what's best for animals. We go vegan. And a little later in the program, we'll be honoring the life of Virginia Handley, a close friend and an iconic animal activist in the Bay Area who got involved with animal issues so long ago with Cleveland Amory before we even realized that going vegan, yeah, I mean, a lot of us went what we called vegetarian, and we thought we were helping animals, but really we were just, we were just focusing our oppression on cows and chickens, right? I would say that in this day and age, to honor any animal activist, such as Virginia Handley, who just passed away, let's do what's best for animals and let's go vegan. We can also adopt her dogs. Three dogs survived Virginia. We are looking to have them adopted. And you can contact me through my website. Well, you can email me, bob@goveganradio.com, and I will pass the information on to Holly, her neighbor, who is currently fostering the dogs, the three dogs who are available for adoption, Pepe, Lolita, and Roger. And a little bit later in the program, I'm inviting people who were touched by Virginia Handley, who are friends of hers. There are many people who have been friends for a long time and recognize what she did. The phone number that will open up also for people who want to perhaps pay tribute to Virginia and speak for maybe a minute and a half later in the program, that will be 855-660-4261. That's 855-660-4261. And we'll remember Virginia from, I said she goes all the way back to Cleveland Amory and the Fund for Animals, and she worked for the Fund for Animals until that was gobbled up by the Humane Society of the United States. And then she was with Paw Pack and Animal Switchboard. But, you know, there are things that, you know, for example, she worked on a bill. I think it was one of the first bills, maybe the first bill upon which she worked back in the 70s, that prohibited painful animal experiments on animals in elementary school and high schools. And we owe that to Virginia and a lot more, which we'll discuss later in the program. Also later, animal rights commentary with Professor Gary Francione. It's Go Vegan Radio with Bob Linden. GoVeganRadio.com. Go Vegan Radio with Bob Linden. Archives at GoVeganRadio.com. You can also click Listen Live Sundays from 5 p.m. to 7 p.m. Pacific Time for our two-hour broadcast nationally syndicated by the Genesis Communications Network. On Twitter, we are at GoVeganRadio, and you can follow us on Facebook, Go Vegan Radio with Bob Linden. And there are two Bob Linden pages. Might become my friend that way. You won't really become a good friend if you're still eating meat. And are you still eating meat, really? If you are still eating meat, I would have to say you don't know Jack, you know? Remember we talked about that huge 8.7 million pound recall of dangerous, hazardous, dead flesh, uninspected. It's been condemned by the USDA that dead flesh from murder victims killed at Rancho Feeding Slaughterhouse in Petaluma. Well, that was enough dead flesh to make a burger for every citizen of New York, London, and Tokyo. And apparently it was used to make many burgers for Jack in the Box. A lot of that condemned meat went to Jack in the Box / food restaurants. And again, this recall was hidden for a year. For some reason, we didn't know about the recall for a year. So we like to keep things secret, you know, if they endanger the public. but especially endanger the corporation, right? If they endanger the industry. And now let's tell you another secret, okay? And this is probably going to be well hidden because it reflects poorly on the evil Monsanto Corporation, which you know how evil it is with its GMOs and Agent Orange and all of that. Okay. So in the Examiner, examiner.com, the headline is it the gluten or is it the glyphosate? Yeah, doesn't it seem to be an epidemic? Suddenly, oh, everybody's allergic to gluten, right? Okay, so this is written by Nancy Swanson, Seattle GMO Examiner. She says, new evidence points to glyphosate, the active ingredient in Roundup, as the culprit in the rise of gluten intolerance, celiac disease, and irritable bowel syndrome. A study just published in the Journal of Interdisciplinary Toxicology by Anthony Samsel and Stephanie Seneff explains how the nearly ubiquitous use of glyphosate as a crop desiccant is entering our food chain and making us ill. Desiccant. That sounds like a new word for us. It is actually a drying agent. But okay, let's continue with the article here. Pre-harvest application of glyphosate to wheat and barley as a desiccant was suggested as early as 1980, and its use as a drying agent 7 to 10 days before harvest has since become routine. It is now used on all grain crops, rice, seeds, dried beans and peas, sugar cane, sweet potatoes, and sugar beets. Should we not all do a citizen's arrest on Monsanto and, you know, all the people in government who support Monsanto? I mean, is this not treasonous to the American people? Okay, that's not in the article. I just, you know, thought that came to my mind that would have gone in probably onto Twitter, had I not been on the air live right now. So continuing here, it says, according to the Pulse Growers Association in Canada, legume growers, desiccants are used worldwide by growers who are producing crops that require drying down to create uniformity of plant material at harvest. These products may also assist in pre-harvest weed control. In Canada, products such as Diquat, Region, what's that called? Reglone, and glyphosate Roundup have been used as desiccants in pulse crops in the past, and there are new products on the way. I guess I cannot continue with this now, perhaps after the break, but let's talk to some people about Virginia Hanley coming up on Go Vegan Radio with Bob Linden. As we remember Virginia today after her untimely passing recently, it's Go Vegan Radio with Bob Linden. It's Go Vegan Radio with Bob Linden, goveganradio.com, on Twitter at goveganradio, Go Vegan Radio with Bob Linden on Facebook, and yes, I'm getting the texts in that glyphosate sounds like glyphosate. I went through, you know, some of the on-air, online pronunciation guides to this this word that really is the main ingredient in Roundup. that seems to be the culprit in causing an epidemic of gluten intolerance, celiac disease, and irritable bowel syndrome. And maybe everybody who's affected, maybe there should be a class action suit against Monsanto. Not that anybody can ever beat Monsanto in court, since, you know, it owns the government and President Monsanto Obama and all, but really, I mean, if Monsanto is causing this epidemic, maybe we'll do a little more on this story later in the program if we have time, or again next week. But I think it's really important that I think we're going to stay on this story here, because people need to know, you know, how evil Monsanto really is, and that it looks like this is the cause, this glyphosate, glyphosate. Today we're spending some time, and in fact, if you were a friend of Virginia Handley's, who was with Paw Pack and Animal Switchboard, if you want to call in and remember Virginia, who died about a week or so ago right now, the number is 855-660-4261. I believe we have Dixie May of the San Francisco Vegetarian Society on the line, who would have long, fond memories of Virginia. How are you today, Dixie?
Well, I'm doing well, thank you, but very sad by learning about Virginia Handley's death. It's such a great, great loss for the animal. Mm. And, you know, they always say there's nobody that's irreplaceable, but that's not true. She's irreplaceable.
She is irreplaceable. I mean, people keep saying to me, we need somebody to pick up where Virginia left off. I mean, she's so dedicated, just always attending, going to the legislature in Sacramento and, in a clunker car that barely made it. It reminds me of my career in radio, and clunker cars that barely make it to radio stations to do the show. But
in fact, she reminds me of you, too, because both of you are very talented. In your field, you could be making tons of money commercially, but you're dedicating your life to the animals, doing a Go Vegan Radio. Virginia was the same. She could have made a lot of money being a lobbyist, a paid lobbyist, but really, she wasn't that highly paid as a humane lobbyist. Mm-hmm. And I think she devoted her life to the animals. And at a financial loss, because, she was so intelligent, had so much going for her, but she gave it all to the animals, and I love her for that.
And, she said she had a happy life and wouldn't lead it any other way, because she was able to help animals, and that was the key to her having a happy life, even though she didn't have a lot of money, but... she was dedicated, and she'd show up, at fish and game meetings with the hunters. I mean, she was often the only one there.
There's a certain satisfaction. I know you must feel this because you're not compensated. I'm not. I've been doing this, either president or vice president or involved with the San Francisco Vegetarian Society over 40 years, and, I've never been paid to do this. And what we're paid for is the feeling that we're doing something for the animals, trying to help make a better world for humans and animals.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
That's compensation.
Yes, and you have been dedicated to that for a very long time yourself, and we know what's I guess we've come to see what's important in life, and the key to happiness is helping those in need, and the animals are the ones most in need, really. I should on air wish your husband, Stan, happy birthday this past week. He just turned 89 years young and has been vegan for 20 years. And you told me the doctor told him that he has the heart of a 35-year-old, right?
So that's right.
Yeah. Well, he should give it back. You know? No, okay. No,
yeah. And he was a vegetarian before he became vegan. And it was, it's really been beneficial. Both of his parents died when they were 75, so he's outlived his parents quite a number of years.
Yeah.
So there's something to be said for eating a good, healthy vegan diet. And that's, you know, I'm president of the San Francisco Vegetarian Society, and I try to help people learn about good nutrition because we need healthy vegans.
Right. And, you know, going back a long way to the beginning of the San Francisco Vegetarian Society, there's a connection to Virginia way back then, even, in a sense, right?
Yes. Norman Seton, whom she married, he was the original vice president and original founder of the San Francisco Vegetarian Society. I was not. Fred Baldus was the president, and he put an ad in the paper, Vegetarians Unite, way back in 1968, I think, yeah. And 30 people showed up, and one of them was Dr. Norman Seton, a PhD, brilliant person in chemistry and physics, and he became the first vice president. And then I joined 1 year later when I found out about it, and it was Dr. Seton who said he was too busy to continue on, and he nominated me to be vice president.
Ah.
For the rest of history.
And the rest is history. So Virginia's husband,
1975. Then I became president.
Virginia's husband is really the key to your long term involvement there in that position. And you were doing annual parties with Virginia also, Christmas parties too.
Yes. Oh, we did a lot of cooperative things together, and I would always post her legislative. Items, you know, her report on our e-list, and you know, keep people informed of the what was going on in the legislature. In fact, Virginia used to get upset with me because she said, "All you do is sit around and talk about vegetables. You should be up here in Sacramento." And I told her, "Well, if I'm turning these people on to being vegetarian or hopefully vegan." You know, there's three-fourths of the problem right there with animal cruelty. So,
right.
But anyway,
you know, and
we appreciated each other very much. And,
oh, yeah, she was lots of fun, you know, just really full of life.
She was a talented singer, comedian, and, you know, she had a lot of other interests, too, but she devoted, you know, the majority of her time and her life.
Yeah, we were talking about hey, how challenged we could be financially at times. So, you know, over the course of the 13 years that I've been doing this program, where I've had to actually pay for radio airtime, I've had to perfect the art of couch surfing so that what would be rent money would actually rent radio airtime. And Virginia's couch, that little teeny tiny couch at Fort Mason at Animal Switchboard, was home to me for a while. So.
I know. Yes, actually, you know, it's interesting how both you and she, you know, actually made a great financial sacrifice in order to help the animals. And so I'm glad you're still around. And I'm certainly deeply saddened that she is no longer with us. I mean,
yeah,
it's a tremendous, tremendous loss.
It really is. I know we're all so sad, and I feel this outpouring from people really about her. She touched a lot of people over many years, so she will be missed.
Well, yeah. You know, we take each other for granted a lot. And when I read that she had passed away, I couldn't believe it. I just couldn't believe it. And I've been sad ever since. It's really affected me because she was a friend. As I said, met her way back through Norman Seaton. He said, you've got to meet this young lady. And I met Gladys Sargent at the same time with Pets and Pals and became involved with the humane movement in addition to being involved with the vegetarian movement. And of course, that's where I met Virginia. She was very young. I have no idea how old she was, but she looked even younger than she probably was. She was like a teenager.
Mm-hmm.
It was way back in the early 70s.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So we have a lot to thank Virginia for doing. I mean, you know, she was responsible for a bill that actually took animals out of science fair exhibits in schools. You know, she went one year and saw that they were cutting the heads off of frogs to see how long they would live with their heads cut off, and they were burning mice to see, you know, how they try to escape or how their skin colors change.
Yeah.
And she said, "Well, this
I
is
know
ridiculous."
All about that because I was teaching school at the time in our science lab, and you don't know how many mice and ducks that I got.
Oh, really?
From the laboratory.
Oh, yeah. So she got all upset, and then legislation happened, and she said, you know, the science fair never looked the same after the legislation happened. So, okay. Well, Dixie, thanks for being with us today, and we'll stay in touch.
Thank you for your tribute to Virginia.
Okay, thank you. The website is sfvs.org. Dixie May, longtime vegan, promoting veganism in the Bay Area. Thank you for all the great work that you do. Go Vegan Radio with Bob Linden, goveganradio.com, nationally syndicated by the Genesis Communications Network. You can support us with a tax-deductible donation by clicking donate at goveganradio.com, where you can hear, seven shows where I interviewed Virginia Handley. Just put her name in the search there at goveganradio.com, and you'll see what our beloved friend was all about. A beloved friend also to Eric Mills of Action for Animals, who's on the line with us now to remember Virginia, and is, I'm sure, as sad as we all are.
Hello, Bob.
Hi,
well,
Eric.
Thank you so much for doing this tribute to Virginia. We've lost one of the great ones. I always refer to her as the leader of the pack. I think she was the single best animal activist this state has ever produced. I'm really going to miss her. I worked with her closely for about 40 years in Sacramento, speaking almost on a daily basis. She had a wicked sense of humor, too. She always used to refer to Action for Animals. It sounds like a dating service for poodles. I always like that line. But she always approached Sacramento with great good humor. She told me over the years, it's never get particularly attached to one bill or another. It'll break your heart. It says, just do the best you can. Talk with the opposition. Be civil. Yes or no. And then go on to the next piece of legislation. And that's what she did. She was a walking encyclopedia of knowledge about legislation in the Capitol. I think she knew the bill numbers and who voted how 10, 20, 30 years ago. It was just extraordinary. And for all those years, I don't think anybody in California would have known what the heck was going on in the state legislature without the work of Virginia and Rose Lernberg and Gladys Sargent and Karen Roush. They formed PALPAC in 1980. I'm on the board now in the last few years. But it would give voting records of all the people and how they voted in the legislature on particular bills, and then give grades. So I think that was very helpful for folks throughout the state. I should also remind people, too, that Virginia was the California coordinator for the Fund for Animals, Cleveland Amy's group for many years before Cleveland died, and then they merged with HSUS. She also ran Animal Switchboard with her mother for many years, Grace Hanley, and they were on call 24/7 for people in trouble who needed help for their animals. So it was a great referral service that they did. I don't know what we're going to do without it. It's going to be a different world in Sacramento.
I know everybody says we need a replacement for Virginia, but how do you replace the irreplaceable?
You can't. You really can't. And sadly, most animal people, in my experience, are not particularly involved in politics. And I think that's suicidal. I think if you're not political, you're dead in the water. Look at what's going on right now with SeaWorld and the orca legislation. They've gotten close to 2 million signatures in support. And yet there's a good chance we're still going to lose that bill because most of the accent up there is on money and jobs and political favors. It's going to be really interesting. So if people want to really pay tribute to Virginia, they need to get off their behinds and write letters to the editor and make phone calls and come to Sacramento and speak up in support of all the animal legislation.
Well, in particular now, since you mentioned the that bill related to the orcas, it's AB 2140, it's going to be heard by the California Assembly Water, Parks, and Wildlife Committee, as you have informed the public, on Tuesday, April 8th at 9 a.m., room 437,
it's
State Capitol in Sacramento.
It's coming up very soon. Bill, of course, is Assemblyman Richard Bloom from Santa Monica. Who last year, on his own, sponsored the Bobcat Protection Bill, which passed. So the man's got a good heart. He saw the movie, the documentary Blackfish, about SeaWorld and Tillicum. The killer whale has killed 3 people so far. How many more will it take? So it's time for the orca shows to go. I think we're on maybe the brink of a sea change about attitudes toward animals. Only last year, the country of Colombia, South America, banned all traveling circuses with wild animal acts. It's quite extraordinary. So I think we're on the brink of that in this country. There's no good excuse for keeping orcas in captivity, or dolphins either. And then you can go to elephants and chimps.
Yes, we can go. Let's go to all of them if we have to. In general, let's generalize it out to everyone. But right now, the orcas have caught the public's attention. Stay with us for another couple of minutes, Eric Mills of Action for Animals.
Sure.
And we'll have some more Friends of Virginia's coming up shortly to remember her in tribute. Great friend that we lost. And her dogs need to be adopted. Bob at goveganradio.com. Email me if you can help, and I'll pass the word on. Once again, welcome to the second hour of Go Vegan Radio with Bob Linden. Yes, we have expanded to 2 hours now with the national syndication through to the Genesis Communications Network. We're live Sundays from 5 p.m. to 7 p.m. Pacific Time. You can also click Listen Live at goveganradio.com, where there are archives. There are also archives to my vegan animal liberation commentary, which is heard on KPFA, the Pacifica radio station, in the Bay Area, Wednesday mornings in the 8 o'clock hour, including last week's tribute to Virginia Handley. We are talking to Eric Mills, who was one of Virginia's great friends. We are mourning her loss. He says that he believes she's maybe the... Oh, we lost Eric? Okay. We'll see if we can get him back. Since we lost Eric there right now, let me go on and mention that, the past few weeks that we've been discussing here, a number of studies, that really, are alarming. The warning bell should be going off related to consumption of animal protein and premature death. The red lights are flashing, but what do we do? Where's the green light in all of this? Okay, well, there's a green light and it's time to go. Vegan, that is. And Green Light Meals makes it easier than ever with great tasting, nutritious meals delivered right to your door wherever you are in the USA. You can go to the website. It's greenlightmeals.com, greenlightmeals.com. You care about animals and the environment. You want better health for your family. Go with Green Light Meals. Check out the menu at greenlightmeals.com. Breakfast choices include tofu scramble, breakfast burritos, banana walnut pancakes, Cinnabon, oatmeal, and lots more. Entrees from chipotle falafel with sweet potato burrito, baked bean and veggie chili, tofu fritters with hot peppers relish, root vegetable soup, lentil soup, stuffed peppers, even vegan barbecued chicken, beefless stew, and buffalo cauliflower. There are snacks from jerky to trail mix to peanut butter cups. And for the kids, chickpea tenders with dipping sauce or mac and trees. Greenlight Meals even delivers smoothies, delicious smoothies and desserts. And, you know, there's a meal program that's right for you, and you can be helped accelerate your fitness and weight loss goals with consultation from Melissa Bray, who's a Greenlight Meals fitness and nutrition consultant, NCCPT certified personal trainer, and with a culinary arts degree from Johnson and Wales University. So now, there's nothing really stopping you from going vegan. All you have to do is answer your door. Go to the website, greenlightmeals.com, greenlightmeals.com. Okay, we have Eric Mills back from Action for Animals, and today we're remembering Virginia Handley, who touched all of her all of our lives, and really, probably a lot of animals who wouldn't know, you know, all the frogs who would have had their heads chopped off, or all the mice who would have been burned in school experiments, all the animals, the stray animals who got medical treatment because of Virginia and what she did. I mean, she accomplished a lot, didn't she, Eric?
She indeed did. I think Virginia is responsible for more of the laws, animal welfare laws that are on the books these days, than anybody else, and pretty much by herself. It's just really quite extraordinary and very self-effacing. She always put the animals first, often to the detriment of her own health, but she was always there. You had a problem, she would sit down with anybody if it was going to help animals. But she was the author, not the author, the cause of the law in the books, which disallows private citizens from having exotic animals for pets, bears, lions, tigers, all that stuff. Dissection in the school she worked on a lot, the Hayden Bill, spay neuter issues. I went with her many times to Fish and Game Commission meetings throughout the state. She was practically the only one for 25 years who ever went to those meetings from the animal protection movement. That's changing somewhat now.
She said she felt lucky to make it through the parking lot, you know.
Yeah. But she was so good. She was friendly to everybody, and she could carry on a civil conversation with the opposition, even though they disagreed. They could hoop and holler at each other, but it was never with any incivility. It was always just talking about the issues at hand and trying to make things better for the animals. And there was a lot of common ground, which he found. She taught me early on to sit down with the opposition. You'll learn a lot more from them than you're ever going to learn from your colleagues who think the same way you do. And I think that's true. I've hardly met anybody ever who was, you know, intentionally cruel to animals. A lot of it is just old bad habits and not being aware of some of the other issues at hand. And Virginia always talked about those and changed a lot of people's minds over the years. Mm. She was quite extraordinary.
Very much so. And we would like to get the three dogs adopted, whom she leaves behind.
Yeah, Lolita, Pepe, and Roger. Yeah, I think it's going to happen. About half a dozen folks looking for homes for those little dogs now. I always call Virginia the leader of the pack. Those three dogs are free spirits and as undisciplined pretty much as Virginia was. They're great for each other. You let them go and then look out. But she really doted on them, so I think that's going to happen. Bob, I don't know if you've mentioned or not that we're going to have a memorial for Virginia in the state capitol. And I have a tentative date now, I think, I'd like to announce. And if people want any further details, they can get in touch with me. It's going to be on Wednesday afternoon, May 28th, in the capitol. And we're going to have some video and some speakers, and I'm sure some legislators will drop by to pay their respects, and then probably go out afterwards to a little local restaurant and tell Virginia stories. So I think you had my telephone number and email address there with you. If you might want to announce that to folks, I'd be happy to give them the details. They're all confirmed, which should be soon.
Okay. Do you want to let people know how to contact you if they're interested?
Sure.
Go ahead.
I'm here in Oakland. The area code is 510-652-5603. 652-5603. And the email address is AFA, that's Action for Animals, AFA at MCN.org.
Okay. So we're looking for Wednesday, May 28th at the Capitol. It would be nice if they would declare it, you know, Virginia Handley Day or something.
Yeah.
You know, we need a proclamation.
They closed the Senate floor session on Friday in her honor, Senator Lonnie Hancock, who's Virginia senator, and mine too, who also was the Legislator of the Year for Paul Pack back in 2003, I think. So that was good. And I think we're going to have the meeting in the John Burton hearing room, and John and Virginia were very good friends, so that would be appropriate. It'll probably be around 3 or 4 in the afternoon that Wednesday, I'm pretty sure. So I hope a lot of people can make it and pay tribute to this wonderful woman.
Okay, well, I will keep updating people on that event, and I see that some of her neighbors locally in El Sobrante in the East Bay are wanting to get together at Clancy's for karaoke on April 4th, and I guess Virginia was a star there, so if anybody, yeah?
Just to keep some balance in her life, this work that we do, helping animals, is really painful. It usually deals with death and cruelty and suffering and deprivation, and it's hard on the psyche. But Virginia had a really balanced life. She loved to sing in karaoke bars. Patsy Cline was her favorite. She tap danced in old folks' homes. She did stand-up comedy. She wrote jokes for comedians. I mean, just across, 2 days before she died, she was directing a radio play in San Francisco. I mean, she was just all over the board and did a lot of little theater. I saw her act a couple times. Wonderful actress and sings. I mean, she was just a unique, quite something.
Yeah, she was. I loved her dearly. I'm devastated by her loss.
Yeah,
actually.
We all are. It's painful.
Yeah, very
but the
painful.
Best thing we can do in her memory, I think, is to get out there and work for animals as she did. That would be the best tribute we could do to her.
Yep.
Or her.
I agree. Well, thanks for being with us today, Erica. Did you have anything else you wanted to mention before we? I think we have some more of Virginia's friends waiting to come on. So,
One last thing. It came from the director of Fish and Game, Chuck Bonham, whom I like. He's a nice guy, and he closed a speech he made recently with a quote from Dr. Seuss. The Lorax says, which I really like, and the quote was, "Nothing is ever going to get better unless somebody like you cares a whole awful lot." Mm-hmm. So, people, all you need to do is get active and raise hell. The animals deserve it, and we need to do it. So thank you, Bob, so much for all the work, good work that you do and spreading the word out there. It's much appreciated.
Thank you so much, Eric Mills, for being with us today. We'll see you at the memorial at the state capitol for Virginia Handley.
Thank you.
Okay. And I believe, do we have Gloria yet, Matt, or no? Okay. Well, we have Mary McDonald on the line in the East Bay, who was a very good friend of Virginia's. Hi, Mary. Hi. Good to have you with us here today. Mary, you go back a long way with Virginia. How did you meet? How did you two get together?
We met at a protest, appropriately enough, for during the spring months when the Canadians have a seal slaughtered. The baby harp seals are slaughtered to make watch fobs and trinkets for your keychains and so forth. The animals are bludgeoned to death in front of their mothers and stripped of their fur. And then the mother's left there to try to lick the poor thing that's already killed. It's just a horrific scene, and I met her, and I met Gladys Sargent, who was at that time owner of the Oakland A's, and No, that's the Oakland A's, the football team. Anyway.
The Oakland Norma, Raiders?
The Raiders, yes. Yeah. She was co-owner of the Raiders at that time. Goddess was. And she and Virginia were very close friends. They were both very active in animal work. And I met them all, including Norman, who later became Virginia's husband, Norman Seaton. And they were all very active in animal work.
So you met them in a protest against the seal massacre in Canada. And
right.
When was that? When?
It was probably in the late 60s, 1960s. So I knew Virginia over 40 years.
Okay, Mary, stay with us for a few minutes. We have to take a break here. We'll continue.
Okay.
It's Go Vegan Radio with Bob Linden, goveganradio.com.
There are many things.
Go Vegan Radio with Bob Linden at GoVeganRadio.com. You can support the program with a tax-deductible donation by clicking Donate at GoVeganRadio.com, where there are hundreds of free archives. You can also make checks payable to Go Vegan Radio, P.O. Box 475-414, San Francisco 94147. And if you'd like to advertise your vegan and cruelty-free products and services, email me. It is Bob at GoVeganRadio.com. Coming up shortly will be Animal Rights Commentary with Professor Gary Francione. But we are continuing our tribute to the life of Virginia Handley, activist extraordinaire, good friend who passed away last week. And we're talking to one of her good friends, Mary McDonald, in the East Bay, who before the break told us that, well, Mary, you met Virginia at a protest against the Canadian seal massacre in the late 60s. So you were friends for over 40 years. What would you like to say about Virginia?
I just I can't believe she's gone. I simply can't accept the fact that she's. I can't pick up the phone and call her because Virginia would take your call day or night, 24/7. She was very generous with her time, which, by the way, she did not get compensation for much of the work she did when she no longer worked for the Fund for Animals. She was. Basically unemployed by animal groups, and she mostly went on her own with getting donations from people who admired her zealousness and her dedication. She was always thinking of the animals, first of all. Twice I've been hospitalized for illnesses, and last time I broke my hip for months, I was in the hospital. And Virginia stepped in and took care of my cats and my dog. In fact, she brought me in touch with Bob, who has helped me take care of my animals when I was unable to. It was a wonderful, it was wonderful.
She was a matchmaker too, huh?
Yeah, she was. We've become very good friends since then. Bless her heart. I can't imagine not being able to pick up a phone and call Virginia because you could just anytime. She never refused a phone call, which is something I can't say. Well, I'm not in demand as Virginia was, but she was so generous with her time. And again, never received compensation for anything she did. It was an act of love. And I hope that somebody along the way will have the time and the dedication to step into her role a little bit, maybe continue with Animal Switchboard, which started with her friend Gloria and Andrea, and her mother, Grace, who was the switchboard workers and who really held it together. She'd take a call in the middle of the night if someone lost their dog or couldn't find their dog or had some other personal problem they were concerned about. And they would always take your call, never turn you down, and always give you some support. So she's a jewel that's gone. And I'm so sorry. But then that happens in life. The really wonderful people who pass away and leave nothing for us to remember them by, except the good deeds they've done, which is certainly monumental. Virginia has, there's no way to explain how great she was, how wonderful she was as a human being. And the animal activism was just a crown, star in her crown. It was just wonderful that she could prevent so many horrible things to happening to animals. She went to the slaughterhouses. She went to all the places where animals suffered. She saw the chambers when they used to gas them, when they euthanized them. She saw all this happening. She was there firsthand. She didn't just talk about it. She was there seeing it and acted on it. And there's, I don't know anyone who was able to do that. She was fearless in how she attempted to help animals who were helpless. And I'll always miss you, Virginia. You're part of my life that's gone.
Thanks, yeah. Yeah, thank you so much, Mary, for remembering Virginia, somebody we love. It's hard to believe she's gone, too. It was all so sudden. I still hear her voice in my head. So, but well, thanks for remembering Virginia with us today, Mary.
Thanks, Bob. Bye-bye.
Okay. And I believe we have Gloria Sanchez now, who is another longtime friend of Virginia, going back a very long way, too, right, Gloria? Oops. Gloria there? Oh, we lost her? Okay. All right. Maybe we can try to get her back if possible. So I did want to mention then, if we don't have Gloria, Gloria was... Well, we have to take a break anyway. Gloria started Animal Switchboard with Virginia 50 years ago. Let's see if we can get her back on the line. We also have Professor Gary Francione coming up. It's Go Vegan Radio with Bob Linden at GoVeganRadio.com, on Twitter at GoVeganRadio, Facebook, Go Vegan Radio with Bob Linden, and there are a couple of Bob Linden pages there, too. Thanks for listening. Continue on Go Vegan Radio with Bob Linden, GoVeganRadio.com, nationally syndicated by the Genesis Communications Network, on Twitter at Go Vegan Radio, Facebook Go Vegan Radio with Bob Linden. And just prior to animal rights commentary with Professor Gary Francione, we have one more longtime friend of Virginia Handley who wanted to check in on our memorial today to Virginia, and that's Gloria Sanchez. Hi, Gloria. How are you today?
Hi. I'm fine, thanks.
Thanks for being with us. So you go back a long way with Virginia Handley also.
Oh, yes. We started Animal Switchboard easily 30 years ago when none of us really knew what we were doing, except we knew that the local SPCA was not doing a particularly good job. And so we decided to try to do something about it and came up with Animal Switchboard. And Virginia's mother actually ran the switchboard, which we lovingly call the switchboard. It was really the phone in her home. And she picked up phone calls at all hours of the day and night. She was amazing. Because when we decided to try something like this, I think I said to Virginia, who is going to answer the phone? And she said, oh, Mama will. Has anybody asked Mama? Well, Mama did for years. And she, you know, she'd pick up the phone at all hours. She'd have the phone by her bed. And she would keep a list of lost and found, a list of all the other possibilities that somebody might have to use, you know, in case, for one reason, had a sick animal or no funds to take care of the animal, something like that. So she was there for everything. She was amazing. And I know at times, you know, we'd talk and she would say, oh, we found a dog, because she'd keep a list of lost and found. And somebody would call up and say they found a dog, and then the next person would call and say, look, I just lost my dog, so she was able to put them together. The animal never had to go to the shelter. And I said, Grace, we didn't find a dog. You found a dog. And she would just, you know, she would just put it off and say, oh, no, you know, we all did this. Well, she did it. She was amazing. So, but Virginia was equally amazing. She was so, so dedicated to all the animal causes. she was tireless. I can't believe that she kept up as long as she did. She was really, really amazing, and on a shoestring, really, on a shoestring budget. So
right.
She will be greatly, greatly missed. I know a lot of people, my gosh, the emails I've been getting is just overwhelming.
Right.
She was loved and respected, but not only by her peers, but by people in the Senate. They knew she was a tough lady. She could go toe-to-toe with anybody. And if you knew Virginia, you know the size of her. Nobody would believe it. She would take them on. She was amazing. So she will be missed.
She will be missed. And I don't know, right now, the answering machine at Animal Switchboard, I guess, is getting filled up. And you know, there's nobody to take her place.
Yeah, we're trying to get that pulled together to see if we can relay that number to a couple of us at least. I don't know. Sometimes, you know, trying to deal with the phone company can be a performance in itself.
Mm-hmm.
But we're trying to do that, and there are people who are willing to pitch in, and maybe we could even, you know, get it so that, because it's really a 24-hour-a-day situation. People can call at all hours of the night and day. And so what we would like to do is get some sort of a system that somebody takes it for X number of hours or whatever, have some sort of schedule so that, you know, we're all kind of on edge waiting for that phone to ring and be ready to answer, you know, with help. So
okay, so maybe some of our listeners.
And obviously, we wanted, you know, do as much as we can to maintain what Virginia had, and you know, she took it over after several of us sort of went off in eight different directions, and Virginia hung in there.
Yeah.
So
maybe some of our listeners will volunteer and, you know, get involved with that for a little bit, and and maybe we can.
The problem there is that they have to be very aware, which I know a lot of people, a lot of animal people, are really aware of. Of what to do in a particular situation, like say they find somebody, a dog with a broken leg on the road or whatever, and have numbers there that they can call immediately, because people are, you know, when they're distressed, it's kind of difficult to deal with them in the sense that, you know, they don't give you much information, they don't tell you where they are, and so it has to be somebody who would be willing to at least kind of pick their brain and try to settle their nerves, which I know is disconcerting when you find an animal in distress. But I think we can all do it, you know, just pull it together, because it's an we call it an old San Francisco. You know, we started it so many years ago and well known, so.
Right, right. Okay. Well, we'll keep the public updated on it. And right now, hopefully, we'll get Virginia's three dogs adopted. And
that would be wonderful. I know it's a problem, and I know I think there's one lady who has all of them. She's taking them all in, so they didn't go to the shelter, which was wonderful of her to do that. Mm-hmm. It's her neighbor, I believe, who did it.
Yes,
so,
Holly.
People
can email me. People want to email me, and I can pass the word, and perhaps we can get the dogs.
Wonderful, wonderful.
Virginia
left behind, and if you want, when we're off the air, I can give you my email address or whoever takes over.
Okay, sure. Okay.
So we can do that, you know, just to kind of keep me posted if you kind of need a little, you know, insight of what has to be done and all that.
Okay, well, I'll stay in touch with you, Gloria. Thank you so much for being
Take
a part
care.
Of the
Blessings
memorial
to Virginia.
Today. Okay, thanks, Gloria.
Bye.
Oh, bye. So it's Go Vegan Radio with Bob Linden, goveganradio.com. It is now time for Animal Rights Commentary with Professor Gary Francione, the first academic to teach animal rights theory in an American law school, and his website is abolitionistapproach.com. His latest book, Eat Like You Care. And how are you today, Professor Gary Francione?
I am very well, Bob. How are you doing?
Good, 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 good. Good. Yeah.
Well, I wanted to talk about a little bit tonight about what we were discussing last week, how to talk with non-vegans about veganism. And you remember last week I introduced the five principles. Number one, assume that people are good at heart and that they care morally. Let them rebut that, but make the assumption that they do. Don't think that people are stupid. Treat them with respect and credit them with having intelligence. They can understand simple ideas like, if you care about animals, you should go vegan. You shouldn't buy happy meat and happy other animal products. Just go vegan. People really can understand that. Don't get defensive. Respond, don't react. Don't get frustrated. Recognize that education is hard work. And the fifth principle, learn the basics. You first have to be a student before you can become a teacher. But let me jump to an experience I had this past week, which really reinforced in my mind that creative, nonviolent vegan advocacy is the way to go. I went to Canada to speak at a couple of universities. As a matter of fact, on Thursday and Friday, I gave I did 8 presentations in 2 days, talked to at least 600 people, probably more. And I have to tell you, the response was absolutely overwhelming. Now, these were not animal rights people. These were largely, I was teaching classes at these universities, but I also did public talks both Thursday and Friday at the University of Western Ontario and at Brock University in St. Catharines. And these public talks were open to anyone who wanted to come. And from what I could tell in both audiences, the people were curious, but they weren't involved with animal organizations, and they weren't animal people, per se. They were just members of the public who had seen advertisements about these talks and wanted to learn a little something more about animal ethics. And as you may be surprised to hear, Bob, I jumped right to veganism and said, look, you know, this is not an extreme thing. As a matter of fact, what's extreme is the fact that you folks care about animals, that you have had relationships with animals in your lives, and that you regard animals as playing an important part in your lives. Many of you have non-human companions with whom you share your homes presently, and that you regard as members of your family, but yet you're sticking forks into other animals that are completely indistinguishable morally from the animals that you regard as members of your family. And so I had some pretty frank and direct talks with these folks about veganism, and the response was absolutely incredible. I started getting emails on the Thursday presentation. By Friday morning, I was getting emails. I got up on Friday morning, and I had gotten emails from people who had been at the Thursday night presentation and had follow-up questions or wanted to tell me that they had never really been exposed to that sort of message before, and that they could see the logic of it, and they were intrigued by it, and they were asking me questions about it. But, you know, it is absolutely clear to me. It is just, it's beyond clear, actually. I have absolutely no doubt that creative, nonviolent vegan education and advocacy and you know, talking to people about the fact that veganism is nothing that is extreme about veganism, that what's extreme is that we're not vegan. That there's something very peculiar about that, and I would say extreme in terms of the...
I agree. I mean, you know, meat, dairy, fish, and eggs are an extreme diet. That's a diet of extremism when you really think about it.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, yeah, I made that point to people, you know, that they say that people like us, Bob, have extreme diets. I said, what's extreme is you're eating decomposing flesh. You're drinking the milk of another species as an adult. I mean, we are the only species that drinks. You know, humans are the only species that drinks the milk of another species as adults. I mean, mm-hmm. It's peculiar on multiple grounds.
And why a cow? You know, I mean, it's like, why a cow? Why not a dog? Why not a cat, a squirrel? You know, it's just so...
Exactly. We talked about all of this, and you know, a lot of people were, for example, people asked me about cheese, and you know, they were very, very surprised. Several people asked me about cheese, and when I mentioned that cheese contains rennet, which is the enzyme of generally a cow's stomach, which is used in the making of cheese, so that cheese is not even really even vegetarian, certainly not vegan, obviously, but it's even vegetarian. People didn't know about that. And the other thing that was very interesting was that folks were very, you know, they were very curious, and I said, well, look, how do we get information about this? And, you know, how do we learn about this? And I said, think about it. You know nothing about nutrition as it is, because if you did, you wouldn't be eating the garbage that you're eating. So...
Mm.
I hear the music of death.
It's not the music of death. It's the music of coma. We just have to pause for a moment here. We'll continue with Professor Gary Francione on Go Vegan Radio with Bob Linden. Vegan Radio with Bob Linden at GoVeganRadio.com, on Twitter at GoVeganRadio, Facebook, GoVeganRadio with Bob Linden. And if you want to avoid all of those products of the diet of extremism, you know, meat, dairy, fish, and eggs, there is Viva La Vegan Grocery in Rancho Cucamonga with 8,000 vegan items and a new Mexican cafe there, and a new location in Santa Monica that is on Ocean Park and 28th. You can go to VivaLaVeganGrocery.com. If I were a better time manager, I would have been able to play the song by Freddie Clark, Nothing With a Face, but you see the way I do things around here. And Freddie will be appearing at the Phoenix, 919 4th Street in San Rafael this Thursday, at Yoshi's on April 3rd, also at the monthly event with the San Francisco Vegetarian Society at Pachamama's Restaurant, that vegan event on the last Monday of the month, which would mean tomorrow. And just imagine, you know, you could go to YouTube and look for Nothing With a Face and hear it there, or maybe I'll get to it next week here on Go Vegan Radio with Bob Linden. I hope he follows up with, you know, No One With a Bowel Movement and No One With a Mother after that song. That would be good. So, we are talking to Professor Gary Francione about how we can really, you know, get rid of this diet of extremism that people, you know, they're such extremists. They eat animals and their secretions.
Well, you know, Bob, the thing is that, you know, what really was reinforced as a result of these two rather hectic days and the eight presentations was that how much further ahead we would be if the large animal organizations were promoting veganism as a moral baseline rather than becoming partners with industry to promote happy exploitation and promoting the defeatist negative notion that people won't go vegan. They can't understand it. They're not smart enough to understand it. They're not concerned enough to care about it, etc. I mean, by the way, people are not concerned enough. That I'm not sure exactly why. If people don't care and they're really not going to do anything, I have no idea why anyone thinks these welfare campaigns are going to do anything. But you know, it really is absolutely clear that people can understand this issue easily, and they respond very positively to it. And you know, and I had people come up and say, "Well, you know, what if I can't do it immediately?" And I said, "Of course you can do it immediately." And I gave them some recommendations of things that they would want to read and whatnot, and that basically what I said is what I always say. If you've got 2 hours, you can learn everything you need to learn about vegan nutrition, which is probably a heck of a lot more than you'll know about nutrition than you know about nutrition right now, because if you did, you wouldn't be eating all this garbage, all of these animal products. But reinforcing the idea that, you know, they can go vegan immediately. It's not difficult. It's not expensive, because that also comes up a lot, you know, but isn't being a vegan expensive? And I said, no, and particularly if you don't eat processed foods, which don't have a lot of nutritional value and have an awful lot of salt anyway. But that basically, if you just eat fruits, vegetables, grains, beans, and seeds, it's very easy, and it's much less expensive than a diet with animal foods. And then if you feel you can't do it right away, you know, if you can't do it immediately, then go vegan for 2 weeks for breakfast, go vegan 2 weeks for lunch, go vegan 2 weeks for dinner, and then boom, you've got a vegan diet. And, you can do it. You really can do it. And, Bob, I was heartened. I was overwhelmed, actually, by the response that I got, how positive people were about it. And these were people, again, these were not animal people. These were people who were curious about the animal issue, and they were absolutely intrigued and absolutely enthusiastic. Even if you discount the fact that they're Canadians and they're genetically predisposed to be polite and to not be combative the way Americans are, the way we are here, but just really, really receptive, interested, and wanting to learn. And it really made me excited, but it made me sad that we spend so much time and so much money on promoting the wrong thing, on promoting happy exploitation out of partnering with farmers and all of this farmer outreach stuff. And none of it makes sense.
Well, I sent around pictures of Wayne Pacelli with pigs, you know, on pig farms. It's disgusting. But we will work on our conference. We will
absolutely
work.
Absolutely, Bob. I want to talk about that next week.
Okay, let's do that. We'll talk next week about our World Vegan Summit and Expo with Professor Gary Francione. Thanks for listening. Please love animals. Don't eat them. It's Go Vegan Radio. GoVeganRadio.com. Thanks again.